Good morning. You all need a bunch of help. I know. It's so good to be with you. I hope you're alive and do it while you're alive. No memorial services planned this week. That's good. And I hope more than anything, you know, it's very interesting if you could jump into a pastor's mind for a week. It'd be really weird for you. But I just hope, you know, I see a lot of you just weekly. Some of you I know well. And I just hope you're holding on tight to Jesus. Not out of desperation, but out of choice. That you've chosen him. You've made him important in your life. It's the absolute best decision you could ever make. And the world just never reminds us of that. It just doesn't say that out loud. And please, 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 never stop holding on tight to Jesus, no matter what. No matter what. Okay, that's the message for today. We're just going to pray and go home. Today's theme, me and worry and Jesus. That's a mouthful. And we're going to tackle that today. One mom or dad said, my three-year-old granddaughter, Sydney, told my husband, well, it's mom then, my three-year-old granddaughter told my husband, Ted, and me that she was going fishing with her dad. It was a big deal to her. She's 3 years old. So Ted looked at her and wanted to value her and get her to respond, and he asked if she was going to use worms. No, she said, I'm going to use a fishing pole. If we ask, how do you deal with worry? Every one of us in this room worries. Every one of us. It's part of the human condition we like to talk about all the time. How do you deal with it? You know, most, if we're honest, say, I don't. I just worry. And I'm hoping that today you get a couple of nuggets that you can leave with that are new and fresh, even you, over 60 gang. That you can think, I'm going to try that. That's my hope for today. So let's pray as we move through things. Lord, thank you that we can be in this room and be together today. And I just pray that you would touch the inside of our heart with not just truth, but your love as well. That we would refocus in our life, recalibrate this year, this month, this day, and focus in on you in our lives, and that we might grab on tighter to you in any and every way we can. So Jesus, we welcome you to this room, to our lives, to our families. I just pray that the hearts of my friends in this room would be ministered to as we consider what you say and also what makes sense in a real life. So touch us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, our hope is, as we move through things on making much of Jesus, that we end up following him more closely, and we end up loving him more fully. Not that the love that we have for him isn't enough, but the thought that you or I could love him more fully just excites me. Not out of necessity, but out of opportunity. And just become even more comfortable living alongside him all day, every day. That Jesus isn't a Sunday thing. That he's not something to just believe in and secure our position in heaven. But he becomes daily insight, hanging out with all day throughout our day. Listening to the words of Jesus can change everything in our lives, and can take our thoughts and measure them better, and give us a different way to deal with the issue of worry. Throughout the course of the day, as different issues come along that cause us to worry in different ways, whatever your hot buttons are, because we all got some. Jesus talks about worry and how to handle it, and the problem is not many take him up on his offer. They don't. It may sound, as we work through things, too good to be true. It may just be too hard for most. I don't know. Because we're going to get back to the trust issue. We always do, and especially in this area of worry. Dave Ramsey's book, Total Money Makeover, he says this, and I quote, "If it was easy, everybody would be skinny and wealthy." That's just true. It's the same with worry. If it was easy not to worry, everybody just do it. So again, hoping to bring some fresh thoughts to the subject of worry today. Concerning worry, just for fun, and to face reality of all of our lives, just watch this and enjoy.
Do you worry about anything?
Sure. Everything. The sun could go nova, something could come in from the wood cloud and blast us, viruses.
Yeah.
Worry about lots of stuff.
Do you worry about anything?
Yes, always. That's one of my problems.
Do I worry about anything? What kind of question is that? Yeah, I worry about stuff.
Anything you can share?
Money, job. That's about it.
What is the cure, do you think, to not worry?
A lot of money and a good job.
Do you worry about anything?
No, you know what? Right now I'm worrying about her. I think we just lost her shoe.
How about you, ma'am? All right, do you worry about anything?
I worry about earthquakes living in LA.
Do you worry about anything?
Are you kidding? Am I human?
I worry about a lot of things. I worry about my family, my daughter particularly, and my grandkids, and I worry about myself, and I worry about other people. I'm a worrier.
I worry about everything. I wonder if I'm still gonna have a job today or tomorrow.
What are some things that you worry about, if you don't mind sharing?
Homework, school, sports, friends. Yeah.
Well, I think the future for our youth. I have two grandsons, 13 and 15, and I look at them and I'm concerned.
Yeah, I worry. But I worry less now that I'm older than I did when I was younger. I don't know why that is, but...
Do you worry about anything?
Everybody worries, I think.
And why do you think that is?
You want things to go your way? You worry, am I going to do this or am I? I always tell my girlfriend I give her $5,000 if she can come up with one good thing that worry brings her. She hasn't cashed in yet.
So that could be us, right? I mean, absolutely we could be in that. You know it and I know it. So how should we deal with worry? Just a couple thoughts. Number one, first of all, I believe Jesus has better options than worry. And somehow to convince yourself that, wait a minute, whoa, there's a different option from worry? Yeah, there is. We're going to get there. It'll be a while. I may be long today. I'm just warning. No, I'm not going to be long. Jesus tells us directly that worry is not to be our way. He doesn't tell us we're not going to worry. All of us worry. All of us could be on that screen. Well, there's got to be a better way. I want to implant that thought in your brain. Luke 12:22, then Jesus said to his disciples, who are his disciples? Well, obviously the 12, but also a big band of folks that followed him as he was moving through his life and doing amazing things. Some just believed in him and would not be close to him. And it's interesting. I got an incredible email from a man that's sitting in this room right now. I'm not going to point him out. Doesn't matter. But he told, and it was very, very long, and he told me that before he sent it. And I just wish it would have been longer. I'm not kidding. Maybe one day you'll get to read it. A lot may come from that email. But he told me about his saga in life and how he's gotten to a place where Jesus means everything to him and how that transpired. And I was in that email. I was a piece of that. And it's as honoring as anything can be. And he's come to follow Jesus as a mature man even more closely because of his ability to focus on him and his wanting to focus on him. So these disciples, there's a lot of them following. Could be hundreds, could be thousands. Many fell away over time because his words were too tough. And you know from, especially those of you who come regularly, I chase people out of here all the time. They go to other churches because it's too hard, I guess. That's okay. They can come back if they want. He goes, therefore I tell you, concerning what he had just spoken about, don't be like the guy with the bigger barns is before this story, all right? Just built bigger barns because he had just wanted more. He had enough, but he wanted a lot more. He's saying you have a choice. And it really, one of the themes of today is you need to be an investor in heaven. And when I say invest, I'm not just talking money. I'm talking time, too. The things you treasure, we're going to get there. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. This is the second hardest thing Jesus has ever asked us to do. Okay, Jim, don't worry about your life. Now, just take that face value. What he's telling me and you is we don't have to worry. We do anyway, but we don't have to. That's what he's telling us. The hardest thing he ever said is to honestly and sincerely love your enemies. We don't want to do that as human beings. I don't. The only way I'm going to do that is if I walk with Jesus. And I believe love is to move towards people in kindness. And it's special when you can learn how to do that. Only Jesus can take you there. But he says, don't worry. So that's the message. Again, we're just going to pray and go home. Jesus told you not to worry. Let's go on. He says, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. And the idea here is he's talking about stuff, daily provisions that we need. And I think the big idea here is your life ought to be moving forward with less worry. That's my hope today. I'm not going to stop you from worrying today. Are you kidding me? I'm a realist. But the thought that you might worry less is very exciting to me because of truth. In other words, what I think Jesus is laying out is worry is optional for us. You don't have to worry. Your humanness wants to worry. Your mind, your heart, you want to worry. But it's optional. Let's go on. Verse 23. For life is more than food, and the body's more than clothes. Food matters. Clothes matter. I'm glad we're all dressed today. I'm very glad. The priority for people who believe is not food and clothes, is part of what he's saying, but following Jesus and loving him. I mean, not right here, but the theme of what the truth lays out for us. And then loving and valuing other people. Those are the things that need to matter to us, or should. Helping people find a real relationship, as most of us in this room have, with Jesus. Those need to be the primary pursuits of our life, or they ought to be. It's pretty clear here what Jesus is saying. You don't have to worry. It's not necessary. You have other options. I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to spend your precious energy and emotions on worry. He's not saying this, but I think he is. I want you to spend your time loving me and loving others, not worrying. It's as if Jesus is saying, come on, guys, you got to cool it. I know you're human. I know life is hard, but it's not good for you. You aren't built for it. It takes you down. It doesn't lift you up when you worry. The truth is, number two, worry doesn't add anything to life. It just doesn't. You already know this, but everything in life is up for evaluation, and wise people evaluate. What value does it have? What does it produce? Whatever it might be in your life. Will negative impact come from it, having it, doing it? Why should I invest time and energy in it? That's evaluation tools. Proper evaluation makes for wise decision making in life. And certainly, the Bible wants us to make wise decisions. Decisions also are highly influenced by our emotions. They just are. And some of us are more emotional than others. And when emotions are running high or a little bit hot, intense, the spring is sort of pretty tight, you know. It's not a time to make big decisions. But things are different. The emotion of worry can alter your decision-making in mind. And usually not in a positive way. And you know this. I'm just telling you what's true. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just speaking the truth. In Luke 12:24, Jesus goes on. He says, consider the ravens. Interesting that he picked ravens. He picks a bird, God does, to use as an example to us. And birds that were the least loved and desirable. A raven, a black crow in our world of the South Bay. Birds that were not capable of generating their own food supply. They don't do that. They eat off the earth, leftovers, McDonald's French fries if they can get to them, right? They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, none. They can't build bigger barns. They can't do that. They got wings and little feet to hop around on. They can't build. Yet God feeds them. God provides a way for them to exist. And we just skip over the birds. And how much more valuable you are than birds. So there's a communication here, I believe, happening from Jesus to them and to us. First of all, he's reasoning with them, and I love that. We ought to be reasoning people with Scripture, with Jesus in our life. When we learn things, we ought to reason through it with the way we live, the decisions that we make. He's reasoning with them, saying or asking, do you know how valuable you are? He's setting us up for some good truth, trying to convince us how important we are to him. Please know, in your mind and in your heart, you're of the utmost importance to him. That you are tremendously valued by Jesus. All day, every day. Way beyond what you could ever understand. Living your life with the smile of Jesus in it makes your day different. He loves you. He loves me. All day, every day. Even when I fail. Let's go on. Verse 25. Who of you, again, reasoning, who of you by worrying, you've done it, you're going to do it, you know what it is, can add a single hour to your life? Thought here is that worry doesn't add nothing. Zippo. Nada. Verse 26, since you cannot do this very little thing, not an average thing, but very little thing, add an hour to your life. Worry and an overfocus on it is useless, is what he's trying to say here. It has no value. It can steal us away from Jesus because we think somehow in our worry we're going to accomplish something. We're going to get past it. We're going to get around it. My worry and the intensity of it is going to somehow correct it or do something beneficial. The idea here is, by the way, Jesus knows your lifespan. You know, God knows exactly when, where, and what day and hour you're going to die. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Some people say, wow, Jim, dude, you're a fatalist. No, I'm a truth follower. Now, I want to prolong that date as long as I can. I'm not in a hurry to die, but I'm certainly not afraid. I know who's in charge. And then he ends, he goes, at least right here, this portion, why do you worry about the rest? And I think he's saying, Jim, face reality. Live wise and reasonable. And refuse to let anything dominate your life. So what if your worry about happens? It happens. You ain't gonna stop it, dude. When it comes to worry, often we disguise it. Mainly, I think, because it's so normal. And you know, all of you have your own style of worry. You do know that, you know. And it's different. And we just have learned to expect worry in our world of our humanness. We think it's just a part of life and it's something that we must do. I believe Jesus wants you to know you don't have to. Another way we worry is when we overthink things. And I am a classic overthinker. I live in my head. My wife is laughing right now, and I don't appreciate it. You know, the truth is very freeing. To not be in denial in life is where you want to be. So we overthink things in a desire to help things, make them better. Overthinking generally, you know what it leads to? Worry. More worry. And worry ends up creating more of the same. It's a vicious cycle, folks. And if you get in it, you've been there, with your own personality and your own makeup. It becomes this vicious cycle that you just can't get out of. And somehow you think the worry is productive. It is not. Number three, worry doesn't meet our needs. Doesn't. Well, I guess that's what we're worrying for. All of us want to meet needs. We would do almost anything to care for those we love. Anybody would. The men in the room would give their life to care for the ones they love. As would a mother in her own way. Parents have this protective quality about them that is extreme, and it's really hard when that tearing happens and they don't want you to protect them anymore, and they want to be adults, and you want them to not stay kids. You can be proud of them, but you wish they'd call a little bit more, just a little bit more. I'm going to leave that alone. But the truth is, our needs scream to be met. It's the way God built us. You get hungry, guess what? You want to eat. Not that any of us really know what real hunger is unless you've got a story. Luke 12, 27. Consider, think about Jesus again reasoning with us, trying to make us think outside the box. He says how the wildflowers grow. They're wild. No one planted them or worked the ground to set them up for success like a green thumb gal or guy would do in their home, right? They do not labor or spin. They're not grinding to grow. They go freely and effortlessly. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor, the top guy in the land, was dressed like one of these. The flowers were more beautiful than the most successful guy could ever dress. The wealthiest man on the planet. Verse 28, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, alive, lush, and beautiful, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, dried grass would be used to fuel for their clay ovens for cooking, would start, easy starter. They would get this illustration more than we do. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? So he takes a little bit of a shot here, but he's trying to get our attention. And the idea is here to be guilty of worry, fear, and doubt consistently, and especially in an overwhelming way, shows where our faith really is. Our faith has a lot to do with how much we worry. We'll see that again. Number four, worry reflects limited trust. This is what it does, shows, communicates. Worry says a lot of things that we're fearful of something. That's why we worry. Or we're trying to control something. That's why we worry. The reality is we're refusing to trust God in some way. And it may be unique to a certain situation. You may have something to really worry about, and maybe the best thing you could do, as we'll see later, is say, what is my plan B if plan A goes away? I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Just cheated a little right in front of all of you. Are you having fun? So am I. Luke 12, 29. Jesus now speaks in a bit of a commanding way to those following him, as he would do every now and again. He says, and do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Now, he's kind of taking it further from just worrying about to setting your heart on. He's going after our hearts right now, if you didn't catch that. Your heart really matters to him, and it ought to matter to you. He says, don't set your hearts on what you'll eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Don't. And what he's saying is, look, Jim, you have something different to live for now. Not that food doesn't matter. We don't live long without water. But be careful, Jim, and watch out for what's dominating your life emotionally. The pursuit of these things and the potential worry about these things can take you to a place where you don't want to be. And the worry they can produce. Verse 30. For the pagan world is just means the unbelieving world that lives without God and his word and his leadership and his wisdom. They're secular in their thinking, 100%. The pagan world runs after, eagerly seeks, is the idea, to strongly desire all such things, food, clothes, water, shelter, things that sustain life. They live for them. And your father knows that you need him. God's well aware of what you need to sustain life. And he's setting us up here. One reason why worry is optional is because God is our father. If Jesus is not in your life, you probably should worry. You should be a lot more worried than you really are. Wait till we work through the book of Revelation. You will leave this place. And because God is our Father, it's encouraging and it's powerful, comforting. It brings along with it certain guarantees. It just does. When Jesus is Savior, there's no legitimate need for worry. There's different options. I know it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. That's why I said earlier, most don't take him up on his offer. And it's not because they're mad at him, but they're just living this real life that's full of complication. And life, arguably, is way more complicated today than it was 25 years ago or 50 years ago. Number five, let's keep moving. Trusting produces emotional security. Emotional security, I believe, is a big part of how much or if you're going to worry a lot or not. Are you safe? When we're not safe, we tend to worry more. If we think about it, emotions can run our life. They have, and they may in the future. But when you're emotionally out of sorts, and it can happen, you feel odd. There's a bit of a lostness in it when you're honest, hurt, sad, etc. All the emotions that can come with pain, loss. And sometimes people begin to be careful around you if you're overtly emotional. And you often don't even like you. And that's not a good thing. I think Jesus is the ultimate good image maker. I don't ever want you to be arrogant about anything, but I want you to be supremely confident in your life, in who you are, in what you've done. You're not perfect. Nobody is. But you can have tremendous confidence without being arrogant when it's planted in Jesus. Not in your knowledge or your looks or whatever. And anything, when you're in an emotional state, anything that would stabilize emotions, we want. We want to be emotionally stable people. It's kind of, if you've ever known people that are not emotionally stable, it is a tough life. Look at Luke 12:31. Jesus continues, you are very quiet today. I hope you're enjoying yourself. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom. And Matthew talks about seeking it first, and I like that. But he wants us to be different from the pagans and non-believers. Don't mimic them by worrying consistently, living that kind of life, having a wrong focus on what God promises to supply. Don't let that be your life. And we're all tempted to make that our life. And these things will be given to you as well. God will bless you. He will take care of you. It may not be the level that you want, but he's just saying, I'm going to take care of you. When we honestly follow Jesus, I believe he allows us to be hard workers. when we respond right. If you're a lazy butt, you need to shift your gears. God doesn't like slothfulness. He does not. And we are all, I'm just going to move on. But the idea is when we're close to Jesus, we're faithful in what we do and what we ought to do. And by the way, you don't end up a workaholic either. Work doesn't own your life, thus money doesn't own your life. That could be as shameful or more than being lazy. So it's both sides. And we'll be trustworthy when we honestly follow him. And simply put here, our focus is not to be food and clothing, money or houses, cars and stuff. Doesn't mean we can't have them and use them and enjoy them, but it's not to be our focus. Our focus ought to be how great it is to know Jesus, for real. Attempting to love him all out in whatever way we can. And helping others find him. That's what matters most when you die. You can't come back and get to do that again. Paul tells us, set your minds on things above, not here. Doesn't mean we don't live here, we don't function here. Look at verse 32. He says, do not be afraid, Jesus says. He's trying to pour courage into us right now with words. Not only do you not have the option to not worry, but also to not fear, which are akin to one another, of course. This fear leads to worry, right? I mean, he says, little flock, a term of affection by Jesus. Little flock. We're his. We belong to him. For your Father has been pleased, not reluctantly, not because he had to, but delighted. He did so greatly. Check this out about you. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's already given it to you if you believe. Past tense. God has given us something special, Jesus is communicating. And worry is a total waste of time in comparison to what God has already given you. It's perspective, my friends. It's always perspective. God is totally stoked for the surfers in the room that we belong to him. He's even happier than we are. And we don't always celebrate it appropriately. We don't always take it to the bank, especially in this area of worry. He's so happy that we've chosen him. Number 6, let's keep moving. It's wise to invest in heaven before arrival. Simple thought, but I thought it was cute. Never said this before. It's wise to invest in heaven before arrival. You get the point, right? You're going to die one day and go to heaven. Thank you, Jim. Jesus surprises them, as he often does with his words. He says, look, fellas, I want you to stop worrying about what you have. And he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He says, I want you to care about mankind. I want you to have a heart for them. I want you to give some shekels their way. Don't keep it all for yourself. This is what non-warriors can do. Warriors, keep it all. They store it. Mine. Jesus said these same words to the rich young ruler, if you remember that story. And the rich young ruler put his head down and walked away. And why? Because he had a lot of money. I don't think he would have sold. Jesus would have said, stop, if he would have bowed down and worshipped him. You don't have to sell everything. But become a generous man, which you haven't been, dude. Jesus doesn't want control over your wallet. He wants impact in your heart, which will affect your wallet. He says, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Interesting term. Is this a like one of the bags that hang on right here? Whatever you call them. I don't have one. Understand what the kingdom brings you is what he's trying to say. God is our Father. The fatherhood of God, a doctrine talks about. Heaven forever. The eternal care of God himself. You already own that. Your forever is taken care of. And then he goes on to describe this purse, if you will. He says, a treasure in heaven that will never fail. The guarantee of God is better than anything. Anything. Take that to the bank emotionally and in every other way. And the idea here is to invest in heaven before you arrive. He says, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. No one can touch what Jesus has done for you. And when you invest in heaven with your own wisdom and understanding, and other people come to faith because of that over time, it's a big deal. And the message from Jesus is, look, you get me, you got everything. And I think most American Christians don't understand that. They're still keeping everything. The idea of just giving 10% of their net income. Are you kidding me? And see, everybody thinks, well, if I get rich, then I'm going to give. Look, I've had men tell me that were faithful givers when they are sort of in the middle. When they became millionaires, they've shared that the check is harder to write behind the scenes because they can give more. I asked a guy this week, what if I gave you $5 million? Could you write me a $100,000 check easily? Well, of course, business-wise. But it'd still be a hard check to write. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't think that if you had a lot more money, you'd give more. You should. Whoa. A little aggressive there. Part of what Jesus is pointing at is how a person views money and possessions reveals their view of God and if they trust him for you and me. When we know we're headed to heaven, Jesus can now become more important than anything. He can. Doesn't mean he will. But that possibility is there. And what he says, we can listen to and it can change everything for us. This can stop and settle worry and fear if we get in that zone in our life. We can end up more generous. We don't have to hold on so tight. We can let go of pressure that many are consumed with. So how can we solve the dilemma in real terms, practical terms? Here's where I want to get to. Here's the fresh stuff I hope impacts you today. How do we live with the worries that we have, for real? Being worried is hard to clearly define. We all know when we say worry. If I said, what is your top three worries? Call them out. You all got them. And they're kind of valid in some ways as humans. But two words come to mind when I think of worry. I think concerned and worry. And I think there's a fine line between them, but there's a difference. I think for us not to be concerned about certain things would be silly and idiotic. But the question is, when does concern become worry and potentially dominating worry? I don't think God is asking you to get a lobotomy so you don't worry anymore. You're going to be concerned about a lot of things, and you should be. God understands our human condition. If he doesn't, I just quit. I quit. The challenge is how to keep from worrying about things we're concerned about. And I know there's a delicate difference, but stick with me. Now, how does concern come about? Well, bad news can impact us, right? It just does, whatever our bad news is. Bad news can be health issues that are really hard, oftentimes. It can be relationship changes that you didn't want to change, and it changed. Don't maybe even know why. Adult children's attitudes that you may or not care for. Crime, local crime, national crime, world crime. It's awful for people who care. Finances, reversals, economy, interest rates, stock market, all of it. loss of some type, any type. Loss is hard to deal with, right? Right? You with me? Personal failures. You're not as good as you think you should be at something. Have to deal with that. Things, I guess, that push up blood pressure, we would anticipate would be bad news. And God's given us healthy ways to deal with worry and concerns, I believe. That's what the whole message is about. He speaks directly about worry, as we've seen, and asks us to do less of it. He's clearly asking that of every one of us. So how do we do it, honestly? I want you to think about it. I want you to take home. The word I want you to take home today is process. Process. I should have put it on the screen, but it's okay. You can handle that. You're smart enough. God built us to be thinking people. That's easy. He built us to be wisdom-seeking people. Some people seek the wisdom of God and some don't. They just want book knowledge and worldly knowledge. But us in here, we want the wisdom of God to the best of our ability. God built us to be decision-making people. That's clear in all of history. And could it be, here's my hope today, could it be that God wants us to process bad news in our life and kind of deal with it before it gets to all-out worry? And that we ought to go about the things we're concerned about differently. And when we think about process and what it looks like, if you take biblical wisdom, and for some of us that have been walking with Jesus for 40, 50 years plus, we have a lot of head and heart knowledge. And my hope is always that that runs our life. But we got the book of Proverbs. We can tell you a lot of stuff about a lot of things. So we got biblical wisdom, which dovetails or should with life wisdom. You're a thinking person, remember. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So you ask a few people you trust about something when you have to deal with it. We process differently at 25 than we do at 45 and than we do at 65, right? You would think that the maturity has an addition to our processing. That's why so many young people flock to us older people and ask us what they should do. What are you laughing about? Could it be that if in our lifetime we find and follow Jesus, that we grow in our ability to process better the things that are bad news and are hard to take? I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm giving you some ideas. Now, some get bad news and they end up frozen, paralyzed, just going to worry. I'm just going to stay here. That's all I know how to do. That's my operating procedure in life. Some refuse to face it and just worry about it. And that's just denial. And some try to have a fake peace with worry, and it's just a different form of denial. And denial is never good for you or me. Some just explode in anger, lashing out. You know, people that are hot-tempered have a short fuse rather than a long fuse. And they live trying to control everything. That I'm going to have less to worry about because I'm controlling everything. Good luck. That's like you make movies out of that. Some want to blame others for bad news. Yep. What's happening to me is somebody else's fault. And I'm going to tell them so or whatever. The blame game just doesn't work. It never accomplishes anything good. It doesn't. Just take the responsibility. It just seems wiser to face your fears and your worries. Process them wisely, being sure to include trusting God in the mix and do less worrying. So, illustration of this. Let's say you're Tom Brady. It's Sunday afternoon in a game that matters. There's a minute and 53 seconds left in the game. We're down by 5. You're Tom Brady. So we need a touchdown. Field goal does you nothing. It's 1st and 10 on the 40-yard line, and the team gets lined up. And the plan that Tom and the coach have is to throw to the right side, hopefully to the running back, and end up 2nd and 6 yards to go for first down. So, takes the ball, looks left, because he's Tom Brady, thinks to the right, looking all cool and handsome like he's Tom Brady, and he throws, and a linebacker just blows it up. Blows it up. Now we're second and 13. So the plan didn't work. The plan's bad news. What do we do? What if Tom Brady goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And he starts crying. Or just worried, well, I don't know what to do. Well, that's not Tom Brady. The big question is, do you worry or do you process? What do we do now? Goes like this on his helmet, right? Listens to the coach. He's got all these rings and years of experience. He knows who's on the field. And he's listening. They're processing. Worry does nothing but harm. And the answer is you got to process and go. Plenty of time left. We're Tom Brady. Number seven, we need to close now. My treasure choices direct my heart. In other words, the things I treasure invade my heart. Jesus is trying to give a big picture here, a wide lens shot from 30,000 feet. He's telling us our heart matters more than anything, and what it treasures and what it loves. He says, for where your treasure is, what you love, what you cherish, what matters most to you, there your heart will be also. Our hearts follow what we treasure, and we get to choose what we treasure. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. If you think about it, treasuring something is pursuing security in some way. We pursue work and success to be able to live and enjoy, right? We pursue a wife or husband to have the security of a relationship we hope that lasts. We pursue a home to have a place to live. A hard question to answer is, how many people do you know that are pursuing Jesus on a real level? Not just faith and heaven, but on a real level. Proverbs 4:23, we'll close with this. Above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. When you guard your heart, and you're careful with your heart, it is the thing that all of life comes from for you. We'll close with this.
I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you, I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
This is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
good.
You.
Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted. All right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay. I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Good.
That way to you. It looks that way. It is that way.
I'm here to make you think. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, that we can talk about you, that we can try to find ways to take the Bible, your words, you, and plant it into our life. Help us to be men and women who are willing to work through the issue of worry and just do less of it because of you in our life. And we just thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. I need somebody.